Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Kelly Connors, and I'm host of Real Women on Health. And Real Women on Health is an online radio show and community for women who are interested in becoming their own best health and wellness advocates and also helping others do the same. So we've built a community over the last 5 or so years, and we've talked to a lot of different experts and real women about how health can be improved. And today is no exception. We're going to be talking about technology design for health and well-being, which is a little bit different than what we've covered before. But it is related somewhat to Regina Holliday's interview that we did last year about having access and control of your own health data. But today, specifically, we're going to talk about how design and technology affects how consumers, caregivers, and health advocates help us improve public health, personal health, and well-being. And it's a really key topic in healthcare today as we aim to reduce costs, definitely consumer costs, increase the access, and improve quality of healthcare. So you'll want to hear in our interview today with Amy just how the softer side of technology is heading, with the emphasis on empathy and empowerment and engagement. So if you're a listener with a personal or professional mission to transform healthcare, I welcome you to the show. And I also welcome our guest here today, Amy Cueva. She's the founder and chief experience officer of MadPow. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And Amy, did I actually say your last name correctly? You know, I just realized I had to pronounce it correctly.
Very close. It's Cueva.
Cueva. Okay, good. Great, wonderful. So, well, as I mentioned, this is a show really, you know, we'll have a really great conversation for the next 20 minutes or so. And I'll just let the listeners know that I invited Amy because she is also not only the leader of her own company, which is awesome, or co-founder of MadPow, but she was also recently selected as one of 40 Under 40 by MedTech Boston, and they vote and select women and men based on their healthcare innovations. So congratulations, Amy, on that as well.
Thank you so much.
So, Amy, I guess we could just talk a little bit about how technology has changed over the past few years and how you see it improving whether it be public health or personal health and well-being. Where do you see the most, I guess, important changes happening, and what are they?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I mean, as we know, technology has woven itself into the fabric of our lives. You know, the relationship we have with our smartphone, with the internet, it's quickly becoming a primary relationship where many people would feel at a loss if their device was lost or not close to them. It presents an opportunity for people to increasingly get the information, the tools, the resources, the access, the communication, and technology that can track how we're feeling, what our blood sugar levels are like, et cetera, et cetera. So technology is woven into our lives now. And in health, we're investigating emerging technologies. Health is behind other industries in terms of how it leverages technology. You know, as you know, the Accountable Care Act and, you know, hospitals getting up and running with electronic medical records. But many health organizations are risk averse, and technology is new, and they're just, you know, getting acquainted in terms of how they can use it. And what we're seeing happening with health organizations is that, you know, it's like, oh, we need an app for that, right? It's like a shiny object syndrome, like, oh, you know, let's see what we can do with technology. And so they kind of set it off as its own thing and want to make something with it. And there's value there, but where there's more value is looking at what do real people need and want? What are their struggles? What are their challenges? what would be meaningful to them, what would guide them, comfort them, and help them along their health journey. Because right now, the patient, the person, the consumer is left at the center of a very disconnected ecosystem to navigate on their own. And if we look at those unmet needs, those gaps, those opportunities in terms of what people need when navigating their health and well-being, and try to make it so that our organizations are making that journey easier, interacting with them at the right moments in time, giving them the right information and support when they need it, and then looking at technology as a way to do that, right? So it's not just its own thing, it's a thread through everything. And so that's what we're trying to do and how we approach technology is take a human-centered approach to creating the technology so that it's supporting our effort to improve the health journey and experience as opposed to just, you know, being an app that we kind of throw out there and hope it does something.
That makes so much sense. You know, I was just reading some data that was released just a couple weeks ago from the Society for Participatory Medicine, and it's something like 88% of people said that they would share information that they obtained through online monitoring of their health with their doctor. So that, you know, collaboration, the creation or solidifying, improving the doctor-patient relationship seems to be a real possibility with technology.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, people only have, you know, the average visit with a doctor, I think, is in around 7 minutes. So you only have 7 minutes with your doctor, but you're in your body 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So you're essentially your primary care physician. And through digital, through technology, you can start to, I call it a window and a mirror, right? You can track how you're doing and kind of look at a reflection of yourself in the data to come to a greater understanding of what's going on with you. But then you can also have a window into, okay, what does this data mean and what should I do as a result? So what we're looking at now is the intersection of psychology, design, technology, and humanity. We feel that through motivational psychology and tapping into really what motivates people intrinsically, we can design technologies that help people identify goals that are important to them and then track toward those goals and actually change their behaviors in such a way that they are better able to manage a condition that they have or even prevent a condition from happening in the first place.
Well, I can see when you're talking, I'm thinking about all the chronic health diseases that are in conditions that actually contribute to healthcare costs. So, and most of those costs are incurred because we leave the control up to the patient, and the patient needs to have help in managing, for example, HbA1c levels or their weight or their blood pressure. All these things are kind of cascading indicators that actually add cost to our system. Not only that, they reduce people's well-being, not to feel well in their bodies. So this whole idea of technology being there at the right place, the right time, and tracking, helping people to track their conditions seems to be really an important part of healthcare, almost like a pill would be, right? You used to just take a pill and hope your blood pressure went down. But now technology seems like it would be almost akin to, I hate to say it, but the silver bullet. But it's all about behavior change, right? Using tracking for behavior change.
Yeah, I mean, it's all connected. Through technology, we have, to your point, increasing capability to interact with people in their daily lives, help them understand themselves and help them track toward greater vibrancy. I mean, if you look at it, the U.S. is number one in health costs, 17th in outcomes. Our population is getting sicker and sicker, and that's a result of the American lifestyle. We have sedentary behavior, chronic stress, the standard American diet, otherwise referred to as SAD. It is making us sicker and sicker. So many of these conditions that people are getting are lifestyle related as a result of the American lifestyle, and it's leading to an increasingly burdened health system. But when you look at it, we have this technology that's part of our lives. So if through the technology we can interact with programs that help us understand that, you know, I want to sleep better and eat better and get more activity in my day and manage my mood, yes, because I want to prevent, you know, cancer or diabetes or hypertension, but also because I want to live my life with a great deal of energy and vibrancy, and I want to be happy, right? That it's sort of what all of us want, but now it can be woven into things. So what we're seeing, though, is corporations developing a sense of purpose. So right now, health organizations, the insurance company is the one, adjudicating the claims, and the hospital is the one that deals with you when you come into their four walls. But really, who's with you every day looking after your health? So now health organizations are looking at, how do we be somebody's partner in health throughout their journey and help them achieve greater health and well-being for themselves? And they're incorporating that as the purpose of their organization, which will lead to a great deal of innovation that technology will make possible. And a good example I like to use is, say an American bank said, we want to help people achieve financial well-being. We want to help people go into bankruptcy less, save more money, spend less money. Well, that would have a great impact for their customers, but it would also have a financial and business payoff for the bank, and it would also have a societal impact. If you translate that into health, there are opportunities there as well to not just cater to the needs of a specific patient and to not just get business results, but to impact our society as a whole. So we see, as you can tell, great promise there.
Oh, absolutely. That's actually kind of what I was thinking as, you know, instead of having technology is what, you know, probably many of our listeners think about, you know, their Fitbit watch or something very personal, that technology really has an expansive opportunity to really impact and shape public health and then impact on the society as a whole. So I think that's the really exciting thing, and it's kind of changing, flipping healthcare from a focus on a disease, a condition, and sickness to one where people feel empowered and supported, not only in addressing their own well-being, but in also connecting with others, not feeling so alone, and using that connection through technology design to feel supported and to achieve their health goals.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now, exploration into what we call them digital interventions in health is fairly nascent, right? It's just getting started. And so we're looking at these emerging technologies, the sensing technologies, either on your phone or the Fitbit. We're looking at these sensing technologies. We're looking at, the mobile device, the smartphone. We're looking at all this and saying, okay, what could this do? But as far as actually having, evidence base for, okay, what works and what doesn't in this realm, such that we can design a highly effective intervention and then scale it so that it's affecting the lives of millions, that's the future. But right now we're kind of in this new playground of activity where a lot of stuff is happening. Some of it is hype and buzz and will kind of just run its course, and other parts are going to prove to be very promising. So it's almost like we don't know what's going to happen, but we do know that when you bring state-of-the-art technology into a consumer's life in a way that is meaningful to them and actually provides value, as opposed to just, you know, selling widgets or, you know, getting somebody to do what the company wants them to do, there's going to be amazing things happening there.
That sounds great. I was trying to think of, do you have a company that you work with that you could share a little bit about how you might have changed behavior or affected an outcome, or is that exactly where you're saying is sort of the sweet spot for the future?
So a little bit of both. We're designing things right now, and the results aren't in yet, and we can't wait to see what happens. There are a few projects, actually, though, that have results. So I'll mention a few of them. One project we did with Joslin Diabetes Center was to create a digital platform for diabetic weight loss. And that platform was based upon a program they had at the Joslin Diabetes Center. It was a 3-month coach-led supportive program. We made that the curriculum and digital, and we created a digital support aspect. And that program was piloted at the Joslin, and people were losing weight as part of that program. And so that was very promising. And that's on the condition management side. On the wellness side, we designed an app that is a game that's designed to get you up out of your seat throughout the day and reduce sedentary behavior in the workplace. Now, sitting is the new smoking. Sedentary behavior is extremely bad for your health, even if you're an active person. It has very bad health effects. And so this game is competitive in that I can challenge you to, you know, do 10 flights of stairs when you're in a meeting, knowing you can't do it, and I get points and you lose points. Or it can be collaborative in that we're working on a challenge together. And so this game, this app, was piloted with the American Heart Association, and 70% of people got up out of their seats more throughout the day, and it actually was shown to be like a gateway drug, if you will, where people, after using the app, were going on walks at lunch and joining the gym and so on and so forth. And MadPow now actually owns that application, and we're looking at bringing it to a wider audience. But some things we're working on also that haven't hit the marketplace and haven't been shown, the results aren't in yet. One is with Samsung. We, in partnership with Cigna, designed the MyCoach app, which is present on all Samsung Galaxy devices, that enables people who have a Galaxy Samsung Galaxy device to set health goals and track toward them, leveraging the native capabilities in the device around sleep and mood and step tracking and things like this. And probably one of the most exciting things that we've been working on recently is with Dartmouth-Hitchcock Health System. They're a health system in New England. They created a new organization called Imagine Care, which is just like it sounds. Let's imagine care the way it should be. And people who are managing one condition or multiple conditions get an app. The app connects with Bluetooth biometric sensors. There's a scale, a blood pressure cuff, asthma inhaler, a glucometer. And they use these Bluetooth sensors to track their stats so they can see how they're doing. Are they high? Are they low? But the data goes up into the cloud, and algorithms turn on it. And basically, if the person is out of range, there's a bank of coaches and clinicians on call, and interventions are bubbled up. And so if the person is out of range, they'll get a phone call within a few minutes. And so that type of tight integration, connecting the patient with the clinician using technology, that's where things are going.
Wow, and that does sound like a very it's addressing the whole problem of people not being able to get to see their doctor, and when they do, there's not much time spent together, and we're looking for ways to keep people out of office visits but still have quality health care. That sounds terrific. What is one of your, do you have a favorite project that maybe, I was just thinking of something around women's health or pregnancy, that you think was, sometimes I think that the way women use technology is a little bit different and what their preferences are. Do you have any examples of that or possibly for the older set caregivers? Maybe?
Yeah, for women, decision support is something, you know, it's an industry term basically describing, okay, how do we help consumers make the best decision for them? You know, the best treatment for me isn't necessarily the best treatment for you. And sometimes the simplest treatment is the best treatment. So we worked with the Informed Medical Decision Foundation to create a decision support tool for pregnant mothers, so that if, say, for example, the doctor says, you have a large baby, it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? What are my risks? What are my options? And provide them with the information that they need so that as decisions come up, they can make those decisions confidently with the information that, you know, in the decisions that they feel best about. In the aging market, keeping the mind fresh and is something that technology can help with. So games and mental exercises are something that we're seeing in the aging market, as well as the social component. Folks who are aging, loneliness can be a problem. So connecting them with friends and loved ones and connecting them with each other and using technology as a conduit for community building and social gathering and social activity is really promising. And through technology, also to your point about caregivers, caregivers can see how their loved one is doing through the stats and, you know, the biometrics and things like that, but also their mood. They can also reach out to them. And technology can provide logistical support to caregivers so they can manage all of the appointments and the bills and everything that goes into caring for a loved one who is sick or declining, which can be really stressful and actually have negative outcomes on that caregiver themselves.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of, is that interface between technology and caregiving, if it could help improve wellness and reduce stress for the caregiver, that would be, and also help the caregiver feel isolated, that would be a fantastic application of technology. And I'm sure a lot of the things that you've done point the way towards that specifically, but that seems to be a really interesting and much needed application. I thought maybe I'd give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about the Health Experience Refractive Conference is coming up in Boston. Since we have so many Boston listeners, Amy, can you tell us a little bit about the conference this year? I know it's now probably this is the fourth annual or so conference that you've had.
This is going to be our sixth year. I can't believe it. Our first one was in 2011. And what happened was we saw all these health conferences and we saw all these design conferences, and we said, there's no conference that explores the overlap of health and design. And so we formed the HX Refactored Conference with the intention of exploring how human-centered design and technology can help improve health experiences. And so the conference attracts over 600 researchers, strategists, technologists, entrepreneurs, executives, clinicians, patients, anyone who believes that design can help improve patient experiences comes to this conference. And there we explore behavior change, organizational design. We have tracks on designing to improve mental health and addiction recovery experiences. We're looking at how to design within a hospital system, clinical trial innovation, care delivery innovation, and we have the CTO of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Susanna Fox, will be joining us as a keynote. And so there's excellent, excellent content at the conference and really good networking as well. We've heard over the years people have formed relationships that have really paid off for them in terms of their career and their businesses, which is wonderful to hear. But the thinking is we're better together than we are apart. Let's collaborate, learn from each other, and move things forward.
That sounds fantastic. And I'm sure that, that this will be my first conference that I will have attended with MadPow. And I know you're also sponsored. You're working together with Health 2.0, Matthew Hull, right, on that?
That's right. And in the next conference, I should mention, it's April 5th and 6th at the Westin Boston Waterfront. And it just so happens to be during Boston Design Week, which is just a happy coincidence.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you in person, and maybe that'll be the opportunity. And I look forward to helping out in any way I can. So feel free to reconnect at the right time whenever you're ready for some help at the conference. I'd love to participate or help you access people for interviews or whatever is needed. I just think this is sort of bubbles up in my radar. My background's in public health and communications, and just the using of technology and how far we've come. It's apparent that you've been the leader, one of the leaders anyways. I know you collaborate a lot and you're bringing the whole community forward, and that's like so impressive and important to fueling the movement, right? So I look forward to staying in touch.
Yeah, same here. I can't wait to meet you, and glad people like you are involved because we're really building momentum and things are coming together. So many exciting things are happening, and it's because of connections like this. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thanks for joining Real Women on Health. For all our listeners, just to repeat, the conference is Health Experience Refractor Conference. It's April 5th to 6th in Boston, Massachusetts. And the website for that is hxrefractored.com. So thanks again, Amy, and I look forward to connecting again soon. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.